Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
John, the first chapter, in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Let's go down to verse 11. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So notice this here. In Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, if we were to go there, we would see that it starts off by sharing the nativity scene to us. The birth of Jesus and how he was born. But John is not like Matthew and Luke. John starts off with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Talking about Jesus. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Begotten means born of. He was born of the Father. He was born of God. So before Jesus was born and placed in that manger, in that stable in Bethlehem, He was the Word of God from eternity past. All things were made by Him, and without Him, nothing was made. This is who was born in that stable 2,000 years ago. God came and put on flesh and blood and dwelt among us. The New Living Translation reads it this way in verse 13. The Word became human and made His home among us. Think about that. God, who is referred to as the Word from eternity past, became human. Became a human being. That tells you right there how much He must love us. It tells you right there how much He must love us. That He would want to become just like us. That He would want to become a human being. So Jesus was God from eternity past, who came and put on flesh and blood, became a human being. Go to Luke, the second chapter, chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Now, she's not doubting the angel. She's just questioning, how is this going to happen? So he says, verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Notice that. He will be called the Son of God. So he's telling, the angel's telling her, the Holy Spirit's going to move upon you. And basically you're going to be impregnated by the Spirit of God. And you will bring forth a son. So Jesus was born through a woman, but he was born of the seed of God. He was God, but when he became a man, he was born of God. That's why he became God's son. So think about that. God becomes a human being. He becomes the Son of God. He is born of God. Now, if you go back to where we just were in John 1, it says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And now watch this. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So right here in verses 11, 12, which sit right between verses 1, 2, and verse 14, where God is the Word from eternity past, and then he becomes flesh. We understand he, Jesus, is born of God. That's how he became a human being. He was born of God the Father by the Holy Spirit. Right between that, verses 12 and 13 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So notice that those that put their trust in him, they also are born of God. So Jesus is God from eternity past. He was born of God the Father and became the Son of God. And then it says those who put their trust in him will also be born, not of the blood, not of the flesh, but of God. Born of God. And that's why the New Living Translation says in verse 13, they are reborn, not with physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So notice this. God was born a man so man could be born of God. Think about that. God was born a man so that man could be born of God. Just like Jesus. Just like him. Divinity. Divinity became humanity so that humanity could become divinity. You and I now, through the new birth, are born of God, and we are one spirit with him. One spirit with God. Which means we're one with divinity. God. We're one with him. And everything he is in us. Jesus likens our relationship to him as a vine and a branch. He's the vine, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. And when you look at a tree, you don't just look at the tree and say, oh, look at the branches and the vine. You just say, you just look at the tree. And it's all one. Isn't that right? The branches are in the vine, and everything that's in that vine is flowing in the branches. And that's how you and I are. with him through the new birth. You and I are now born of God. We are one with God. Everything God is in us. Everything he is in you and I. So as awesome as that is, we look and we say, wow, Jesus is the Son of God. He wasn't born based on human planning. He wasn't born just by the flesh, just by flesh and blood. He was born of God. And we think, wow, that is awesome. Son of God, born of God. But friend, he was born of God so that you could be born of God, so that you could be reborn, born again, and be just like him. Just like him. Think about that. Just like Jesus. Notice it's over in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 3. Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now remember, Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father. Didn't we just read that? The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, yeah, he was the only begotten of the Father up to that point. But then after he went to the cross, died, and rose again, those who now have put their trust in him and have been born again, they are begotten of God. He's not the only begotten Son still today. Now there are many that have been begotten of the Father. We just read it. Verse 3 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. New Living Translation says it this way. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The raising of Jesus has enabled us now to be begotten of the Father and be full of grace and truth. It has allowed us now to be born again. And then in verse 23... says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Notice there it is again. Having been born of God, and it's talking about you and I as believers. Born of God, not of corruptible seed. In other words, not of the seed of man. You and I have been born of the seed of the Word of God, which means God's Word can get folks pregnant. So watch yourself tonight, because the seed is going out. The seed of God's Word is going forth, and the Holy Spirit is moving. And when a person believes that word of God, believes and receives and welcomes that word into their heart, boom, a miracle takes place. And they are born again. They become born of God by faith in the word. A spiritual baby is conceived in the womb of that person's dead spirit. Before a person is born again, their spirit is dead. Dead in transgressions and sins. But when they believe on the word, when they hear the word, the seed of the word enters into the womb of their dead spirit. And suddenly a miracle takes place. and they become pregnant. A baby is conceived. A spiritual baby is conceived in the deadness of that human spirit. Just like Sarah over in Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham, it says, verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, many children. He became a father of many children. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. That's what God had promised him. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. So notice this. Abraham believed the word. He believed the promise of God. And through his faith and the faith of Sarah, she got on board with him too. Sarah conceived a child in her womb. And notice the wording there. The deadness of her womb. No life there. But then through faith, a miracle happened, and she conceived a baby in that womb. Well, friend, that's a type of things that happen spiritually in the life of a person that is born again. Their spirit is dead. But when they believe the word by faith, a new spirit is born in the deadness of that spiritual womb. And the spirit that has been born of God is to grow, is to become stronger and stronger and stronger. And just like we read about there in Luke chapter 1 with Mary and the angel speaking to her, he said, the Holy One that is to be born in you will be the Son of God. Do I have any sons of God in the house tonight? Sons of God. Now, sons speaks of maturity. Because you remember over here in back at 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So not only does the word impregnate a person, but then the word will feed that newborn baby that's inside that person. So if you've already been born again, born of God, now the Word of God isn't impregnating you. It's feeding you. It's nourishing you. So that you can what? So that you can grow. Now notice he says, as newborn babes. So when a person is first born again, they are considered a baby in Christ. Spiritually, they're just a baby. But then we're not to stay there. We know the Bible goes on, and we can go over to the book of Ephesians. And it says in Ephesians, it says that we should no longer, again in the context talking about growing up spiritually, it says we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. We should no longer be what? Children. So first we're babies. Then after babyhood stage, you become a child. Of course, you see that with Jesus also, right? Jesus was born of God. He was a baby. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And the manger was in a stable, a place where animals dwell, right? That's where Jesus started out. He started out as a baby in a manger, which is a nice fancy word for a feed trough, something animals eat out of. And of course, you know, the nativity scenes that people have, you know, you see cows and you see lamb and you see nice sheep and things like that. And, you know, but maybe there were pigs. Maybe there were pigs. I mean, you know, I've never seen a nativity scene with pigs. Have you? No. Pigs aren't as sweet as little lambs. We'd rather have little lambs. But there might have been pigs in that stable. There might have been pods that the pigs eat in that trough that they had laid Jesus in as a baby. But then we know, of course, Jesus grew up and he became a child. And a lot of folks still don't realize this, but the wise men, you know, the magi that came to Jesus. Again, this is going to mess up somebody's nativity scene. But they were not there at the stable. They never showed up at the stable. The wise men didn't find Jesus until about 2 years later. And he was already in Nazareth. And when you read about it in Matthew's account, the Bible says they didn't come to a stable. It says when they came to the house, they entered the house where he was. It's a big difference between a house and a barn. They entered the house where he was, and they saw not the baby, but the child, Jesus. He was now a child. He had moved from the babyhood stage into the childhood stage. And then, of course, we know he became the Son of God. And it's the same process you and I go through. We are born of God, born of his Spirit. We're just babies in Christ. And for most, if not all, when you're at first born again, you still live and think a lot like an animal. A lot of folks are, after being born again, are living a life spiritually in the pig's food trough. That's where they're living, because that's what they're coming out of. Before they knew Jesus, they were living for the world. Before you were born again, you were living for the world and for the things of this world. And friend, this world is a dirty place. The god of this world is the devil. And he's referred to in the book of Revelation as the beast. He's a beast. He's an animal. He's like an animal. He doesn't think any higher than an animal. And those who are spiritually dead are like him. And that's why it's so easy, I guess, for folks to be taught in school that they evolved from sea scum. And their great, 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 great ancestors were a pack of hyenas. Became monkeys, right? Bunch of animals. We evolved from the pigs. You're no better than a pig. I mean, I was taught that in school growing up. I was taught that I had evolved, and I was on the same level as the animal kingdom. How many know what I'm talking about? On the same level as the animal kingdom, living no better than an animal. Just living by the flesh, living out of the impulses of the flesh, separated from God, not realizing that we've been born of God, that we're to be one with God. We're to live our lives in his likeness, just like him. But we didn't know that until we believed on Jesus. Then we were born again. Now, when you were born again, I mean, boom, you weren't suddenly holy and spiritual, and your thoughts were just spiritual, and you were just full of the word of God. And no, for most, if not all, you started out, born again, thinking a lot like you used to think, right? Living still a lot like you used to live. But through the process of time, you renewed your mind to God's word. We've changed our thinking. We've had God change our thinking through his word. His word is cleansing us. His word is purifying us. His word is feeding us. feeding our new born again spirit so that we can develop now. We can grow up spiritually and we can move out of the stable. We're to move out of the stable, friend. I mean, there's a lot of Christians. I'm sorry to say, I'm not saying in here, but there's a lot of Christians that after being born again, they still want to hang on to the food trough. They still want to stay in there. And just like the prodigal son that Jesus talked about, who left father's house and went out and spent all that he had on reckless living, the Bible says concerning him that he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. There's still a lot of folks that would gladly, they've been born again, but they would still gladly fill their spirit with the pods the spiritual swine of this world partake of. They still like swiney music. They think it's really swinging, but it's swiney. They like swiney television shows. Swiney stuff. You know, you think about a swine. What do swine like to do? They like to roll around in the pig slop. You know, they like to roll around in the mud. They like dirt, right? They snort. You know, and you and I now have been born again, and thank God we can move out of the stable. Glory to God. We can grow up. Praise God. We can become children and get in the house. Get in the house of God. Get into the things of God. Go into the different rooms that God has prepared for us. Come on. Hallelujah. Go right there where Father is. And receive of his promise. And receive of all the good things that he has prepared for us. God has prepared a wonderful, abundant life for you and I. It all starts in the Spirit. All starts in the Spirit. There's so many spiritual treasures for you and I to enjoy. But there really are a lot of people who are no better than an animal. They live and think no better than an animal. That's why Jesus said over in Matthew 7, he said, don't give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Now, was he literally talking about literal swine and dogs when he was talking about don't cast your pearls before them? Don't give what's holy to them? No, he was talking about humans. He was talking about humans that still lived on the level of an animal. That still lived on the same level as a beast, as the beasts of the earth. That's what he was talking about there. So there are people that are like swine. Remember that woman that came to Jesus, that woman that came to him on behalf of her daughter who had been possessed with a devil? Now, devils are, again, Satan is likened to the beast. He's called a beast, right? So to be possessed with the devil is to have a creature in you that's like an animal, like a beast. So this lady comes to Jesus, and she's crying out on behalf of her daughter, saying, my daughter's severely demon-possessed, crying out to him for help. How many people know a little girl's not going to get severely demon-possessed unless somebody in that house opened the door to the devil? You know, the devil can't just do whatever he wants to do. He can't just possess folks. He's got to be given place. He's got to be given an invitation. People have to welcome the devil in for the devil to be able to come in and do anything in anybody's life. Now, he'll try to come in. He'll tempt you. He'll talk to you like he's already in your life. That's why you got to know the Word of God and say, no, no, no. I'm in Father's house. Jesus is in me. God is in me. And the devil has no place in me. How many Christians do we have in here tonight? Say, the devil, the devil There's no place in me. No, he doesn't. Because we're children of God. We're children of God. But this woman's daughter was demon-possessed. But she was probably living like an animal. In order for that daughter to become possessed with an animal-like spirit. Right? And then she comes to Jesus and she's trying to act religious. She starts crying out, "Oh, Son of David, have mercy on me." When was the last time you used that terminology when talking about Jesus? "Thou, Son of David." Huh? How many people you know in the world would refer to Jesus, the Messiah, as the Son of David? Well, you see, this woman was from another place called Canaan. She didn't know who the Son of David was, but she had been hearing everybody else saying that. She had been hearing other people saying that were following Jesus. So she just went ahead and borrowed it. And she came on over and started saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." She didn't know who the Son of David was. And you know, Jesus is very perceptive. He can tell when something's just superficial and from the flesh and not really from the heart. And so the Bible says he didn't answer her a word. He just kept on going. And she proceeded to come after him, to cry out, even to the point where the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, send her away. She keeps crying out after us. Tell her to go away." And Jesus said, "It is not right to give the children's bread to the little dogs." Didn't he say that? You know, Jesus meant that. He meant that. He wasn't just saying that. And this is some fresh insight that I just gotten on this recently. You know, because I've always kind of thought, well, Jesus was saying that because he was really, you know, trying to get this woman to humble herself and repent and almost like Jesus knew what the outcome was going to be. And we know the outcome because we have the word that tells us that this woman came, fell down before him and said, "True, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Right? And then Jesus said, "Daughter, for this saying, the demon has gone out of your child." So, you know, she got into a great place. She humbled herself and was able to receive. But Jesus didn't know that was going to happen. He had no idea that she was going to do that. He was just doing what he taught us to do. Don't give what's holy to the dogs. Or cast your pearls before swine. It's not right to give the children's bread to the little dogs. I'm not going to spend my time on somebody that is being superficial and not sincere. I'm not going to spend my time on someone that's crying out to me in the flesh, playing religious games and not getting real with me. I'm not going to spend time with that. He meant that. But this woman ended up humbling herself, and glory to God, things turned out for good in her life, where she was able to receive a miracle from God. But that was Jesus' attitude. He taught us, don't give what's holy to dogs. That's what he was doing. He wasn't going to spend time with someone that wasn't serious. Someone that's just saying religious things, being religious. And we've got to watch about just being religious, you know. We've got to watch about just having that Christian lingo. I mean, Christian lingo is good, but just make sure that it's connecting with your heart, that you're being sincere, that you really mean it. When you say praise the Lord, you mean praise the Lord. When you say glory to God, you mean glory to God. When you say amen, you mean amen. When you say hallelujah, you mean hallelujah. We're just not saying stuff, because you see stuff like that all the time now. There's a lot of folks that, you know, they get up and they perform and maybe they'll sing Christian songs and things like that and, you know, gospel music. You see a lot of that with people that are into gospel music. So much of it is just such entertainment. Hallelujah. Amen. So much of it is just entertainment, not sincere, not from the heart. God sees right through that. It's not getting his attention at all. He ain't going to waste his time with that. So that's why he tells us to do the same thing. But notice, there are people that live like dogs, live like swine. You and I live like dogs, live like swine. Even though you might have been a nice swine. You might have been a nice dog. You know, you might have wore lipstick. And you dressed nice. You might have talked. I was a very nice sinner. before I knew the Lord. I mean, I was generally a nice guy. I mean, I had nice thoughts. I didn't want to kill anybody. Are you hearing me? I mean, I was, and I think some of you probably were the same way. Some of you weren't. Some of you are nasty, and everybody knew you were nasty. But the rest of you were nasty, but nobody knew you were nasty. You dressed it up good. Some of you are religious. I went to a religious school. I had religious teaching. I was a very nice religious person, see, to a certain point. But nevertheless, if your God is the beast, if your God is the devil, and you're spiritually dead, then you're just living your life out of your carnal mind, out of your head, and out of your flesh, out of the desires of your flesh. So even though you might have been a nice piggy, you were a piggy in the sight of God. You might as well know that about yourself. Every one of you were forgiven much. Come on. God took a bunch of piggies. And he changed you from a piggy to a child of God. Hallelujah. Caused you to be born of God. And he has taken you out of a stable, out of the food, out of the pig's food trough, where you would gladly eat the pods that the pigs eat. He has picked you up and brought you out of that. And now he's brought you into his house. Come on. He's brought you into his house. He's brought you into the knowledge of him. He is teaching you. He is rearing you in spiritual things. Don't look back to the food trough. Don't ever say, man, you remember the good old days. Good old days? Living in the spiritual stable? It was a spiritual stable. Now, in the natural, you might have had money. You might have had a mansion. You might have had a great job. You might have had a lot. But spiritually, you were living in the stable with the animals. That's where you were. But thank God, I'm looking at a group of people that didn't want to stay in the stable. They weren't content with just being born again and saying, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad I've been born again. I've been born of God, and I've got my swaddling clothes, and I'm going to stay right here in the food trough. I can have my piggy pods, and I can have the preacher preaching to me too. You don't want the words of the preacher and the pods of the piggies. A lot of folks are content. Well, they have little pods of the pig. They'll hear the word, the nourishing word of God from the preacher, and then they'll go and they'll feed on the pods of the pigs, clicking their channels, listening to the music. I don't want anything. If it sounds like the farm that I came out of. Now, I was born in New York, you know, and I really didn't see too many farms. There wasn't a whole lot of country around me, but nevertheless, in the spirit, I was living out on the farm. I was with all the animals. Come on. Don't look at me like that. You were right there, too. Can I hear a moo? Amen. Amen. See, Jesus' birth is a type of our birth, our rebirth, our being born of God, born again spiritually. Hallelujah. He started out a baby in a food trough around a bunch of animals. But he didn't stay there. He came up out of there. Hallelujah. He got into the house. He began to grow up. He didn't even remain a child. And you think about him. I mean, he became 12 years of age, and now he's in the temple. He's in the temple, and I mean, he is full of the word of God. He is confounding all the religious leaders because of his questions and his answers. That's an example for you and I. Out of the pig pen. Come on. Born again and out of the pig pen. See, coming out of the pig pen isn't automatic. You got to realize that. You got to, after you're born again, you got to get out of the pig pen. Now, you understand a baby can't get themselves out of the pig pen. But they need help. They need someone to pick them up and get them out of there. Isn't that right? And that's why you and I need spiritual leaders in our life. We need people to help us. We need to get around the right company. We need to get around people that talk that language of heaven, that talk the things of God, huh? That live the life of God. And we want to get around them and say, hey, pick me up and carry me over into this place. Carry me over into that good land that God has for me. Carry me over into that abundant life that God has for me. Don't leave me in this pig pen. And so for some, it's a matter of making the decision to change the company that you keep. To say, I can't keep hanging out with people that are going to keep pulling me back into the pig pen. I got to hang out with people that are going to pull me out of the pig pen. I got to get around some spiritual people. Hallelujah. Get yourself around some spiritual people. I've marveled over the years how people have drawn back from this church and from different ones in this church because they were more spiritual than them. And because it made them feel not as spiritual as they felt in the place that they were, they thought, this isn't the place for me. And they went back to where they felt big and important. Man, you want to be around people that are higher than you. You want to be around people that know something that you don't know about. Come on. Because why? Because they can help pick you up and carry you to where they are and help bring you to a higher place in God. We're not going to stay where we've been. We're going to grow up and we're going to go on to the greater things that God has for us. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, out there in Christendom, there are people that have been born again and they're still lying in the manger, the spiritual manger that they lived in before they were born again. They're still, that's where they are, and they're content to be there. They're content to be there, but not you and I. Say, I'm growing up. Hallelujah. We're growing up, growing out of this world. This world doesn't fit me anymore. I can't wear the clothing of this world. I can't wear the attitudes. That's what I'm talking about. I can't wear the attitudes of this world. I can't wear the low-level thinking of this world. There is spiritual clothing that we wear, and we want to put on God's beautiful garments. Come on. We want to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you don't have your garment of praise on. Bless God. You need to raise your voice to God and give him a shout. Hallelujah. Put on that garment of praise. Hallelujah. Put on the robe of righteousness. Glory to God. Put on those beautiful garments God has for you. Amen. Come into his house. God will open up his closet to you. And says, all that I have is yours, my son, my daughter, my offspring. You were born of me. This was the whole purpose for Jesus' coming, so that we could be born of God. He was born a man so that you and I could be born of God. Hallelujah. That was the whole purpose for his coming. And the Bible says in Luke 2, verse 40, it says, and the child grew, talking about Jesus. The child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Notice that. He grew. He grew. Just like you. You and I were growing. And notice, we, like him, are becoming strong in spirit. Which means strong in faith. Strong in faith. You don't have to worry about any tornadoes tonight. My phone, something said about a tornado. And then somebody told me there's tornadoes between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock or something like that. I heard about that. And I went out. I said, that's okay. I went outside. I went out in the parking lot. It's pretty black over there. So we had a talk. I talked with God, and then I talked to the weather. And I said, no, we won't be having any of that around here. And I began to sing, don't come around here no more. Don't come around here no more. I spoke to that thing, and I said, now, Lord, if there's anything else I need to know, I thank you, you'll let me know. And I came and saw it. Not worried about it at all. Yes, my Father. Strong in spirit, strong in faith. Not walking around in fear. Not walking around worried about the weather. Worried about this. Worried about that. Thank God we can rise up with a strong spirit and say, no, not here you don't. Hallelujah. We can rise up and walk as more than conquerors in this life. Full of the wisdom of God. Filled with wisdom. Filled with wisdom. Man, just keep drinking the word. Just keep drinking the word of God, man. And it starts out as a good glass of milk. And as you grow and become stronger, you can handle more. You'll start seeing things you didn't see before. And next thing you know, it starts turning into the meat and potatoes of God. Oh, hallelujah. And then there's dessert in there. There's babies. There's children. But then we need to go on and be sons of the living God. Bible says in Romans 8, those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Remember, children are being tossed to and fro. They're not fully being led by the Spirit. They're being tossed to and fro. But those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And she brought forth a son. Now a son needs to come forth out of you. That's what needs to come forth. That's what needs to be brought forth for the world to see. Bible says again in Romans 8 that the whole world is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, looking for the sons of God to be brought forth. Those that walk and talk and think like Jesus. That's what you've been created for. That's what Christmas is all about. So you could be sons of God, just like the Son of God. Can you say amen? How many are going to rise up and walk in it? Walk in who you are. Be who God says you are. Don't just see yourself as a flesh creature, born of the flesh. See yourself now as born of God, a child of the living God, connected to God Almighty. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank Him tonight.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.